Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 3, Texts 32, 33, and 34. Text 32, Ye tvetad abhyasuyanto nanu tishtanti me matam sarva jnana vimudhans tan vidhi nashtana chetasa. Those who out of envy, Lord Krishna says, disregard these teachings and do not follow them are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. This is one of those verses which are considered the very heavy or strong ones in Bhagavad Gita. Generally, we like to hear about God or take up some religious path so that we can feel very comfortable and nice. We like to think that God is love, which is true. Actually, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is to be loved. He is the personification of all love. All love is to be offered to Him. And that is exactly why He speaks so strongly in Bhagavad Gita. Now, when Krishna speaks strongly, it's not just an expression of His opinion. Here He says, me matam. So, mata, that means opinion. But when Krishna says, my opinion, it's actually a fact, because Krishna knows everything. His opinion is fact. So, Krishna says that those who do not follow my teachings, they are bereft of all knowledge. They are befooled and they cannot attain the highest perfection. Out of envy, they refuse to follow the directions of Bhagavad Gita. We find a similar statement elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, Icha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharat sarva bhutani sangmoham sarge yanti parantapa. He says that everyone is born in this material world because of material desires and because of vish, or bad feeling towards others. So that bad feeling towards others, that is a transformation of our bad feeling towards Krishna. Actually, we are all meant to love Krishna. It is natural to love Krishna. Krishna is the most lovable. But we come to this material world because we want to set ourselves up as separate enjoyers from Krishna, imitation gods. Ishvaraham maham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. We like to think, I'm the controller, I'm in control of everything I do. I'm the enjoyer. I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. This is what we think. But the actual situation of the material world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. Everything here is miserable and everything here is temporary, so all our plans are destroyed again and again. We have to suffer again and again and again in this material world. But we don't realize that the root cause of all our troubles is that we are refusing to serve Krishna, which is the dharma of the soul. That is our real need. We may think, I need more money. I need a bigger house. I need this. I need that. But what we really need is to love Krishna. But we don't like to accept that. Or even if we are superficially religious, we approach God thinking, God, give me this. Give me that, so that I can enjoy myself in the material world. But that is not the perfection of religion. The perfection of religion is to understand that we are meant to serve Him. We are meant for giving Him happiness. He is the master. We are meant to serve Him. Not that we keep Him like a paid washerman or a gardener. Here, God, call Him. All right, I want this, I need this. Do this for me, do that for me. I'll offer you one agarbatti, you give me 1 lakh rupees. Not, that is not religion. Real religion means to understand that we are supposed to follow what he wants for his pleasure, even though he is complete, he is self-sufficient, but he gains pleasure in seeing us in harmony with him, performing service to him. Just like to give an example, in the family, the father, he doesn't need anything from the children. He's providing everything for them. But he becomes very pleased if they take, for instance, some sweet which their mother has given, and they give, oh, this is very nice. You also take, father. Then he becomes, oh, you see. Even I'm providing, but they like to give me out of affection. So Krishna is simply asking for our affection so that what we call love in the material, what we call love actually means that I desire to exploit someone else. Someone else should give me pleasure. That's why we see that young men fall in love with young women. They don't fall in love with old women. They don't become attracted to the bodies of old women. They fall in love with a young woman because they see that this form, this young woman form, is something that can give me pleasure. So what we call love in the material world is simply the desire to enjoy and exploit someone else. And from this come so many problems. That's why the basic teaching which Krishna gives throughout the Vedic literature is that we have to follow dharma. Actually, the supreme dharma which Krishna will teach in Bhagavad Gita is to fully surrender to him in full love for him. This is called bhakti. But following dharma is an intermediate stage in which we understand that we don't act simply for our own immediate sense gratification like an animal. I want this, I want that. This is dog's way of thinking. But we should act in a manner that is conducive for all others, even at the expense of our own immediate happiness, and that we should do under the direction of Shastra or Scripture, which is the God-given direction that teaches us how to act in this world in a manner that is actually beneficial for us. This has been described in brief in this chapter by Lord Krishna. This chapter is called Karma Yoga. And Krishna says that people who do not like to follow this, they may give so many reasons. Oh, we don't like to follow scripture. That's old-fashioned. That's mythology. We don't believe in God. We believe in science. We believe in enjoying ourselves. Well, they may not give any reason. They just ignore it. But Krishna says that such persons, whatever so-called good reasons they may give for not following the religious life, they're actually doing because they're envious of Krishna, and they're actually envious of themselves. They're working against their own self-interest. Therefore, Krishna is speaking very strongly. Just like a father may speak to his son very strongly. You rascal! You fool! Why are you doing like that? To correct him. Not that Krishna hates anybody. Krishna loves everybody. But he speaks very strongly to those, or in about those, who do not want to follow his directions. That they are on the wrong path. There is a right path and a wrong path, and that is defined by Krishna. It is not defined by our own philosophies. It's not defined by our mundane ethics or morals. But Krishna, God, Bhagavan, he knows what is right. He knows what is wrong. And he tells us, we don't have to discuss what is moral and what is immoral. Krishna tells us that it's all there in scripture. Due to our foolishness, as Krishna says here, due to our enviousness. In the modern age, we've invented so many theories and we don't like to follow. This is the cause of disaster in our personal lives and disaster in the whole human society, in which we find in modern life, they talk love, 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 love. They talk about love so much, And in the meantime, there's more and more murders and more divorces and more abortions and rampant animal slaughter and all the symptoms of anything but love. Because that they think that love means I have the opportunity to enjoy some facility provided by some other person. Real love means surrender to Krishna. This is taught by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So, we'll go on quickly. Actually, you have to read this Bhagavad Gita as it is very thoroughly. What we're telling, what we're speaking here is just a synopsis. We have to go through it very, very carefully, read it, understand it, then you can enter into these topics very nicely. So we're just giving an overview. Here's text 33. Sadrishang cheshtate svasya prakrite jnanavanapi prakrite yanti bhutani nigraha kinkarishati. Krishna says, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord says, even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? So Krishna is saying that that everyone acts according to his nature, according to the nature he has acquired from the three modes, sattva, raja, tama. This will all be discussed in detail gradually in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says, what can repression accomplish? So it may seem that here Krishna is saying, well, there's no use to follow anything because you just have to do as you're impelled by your destiny. But that will be clarified in the next verse. Everything has to be understood in context. Krishna says in the next verse, text 34, Indriyas yendriyas yarte raga dvesho vyavastito tayonavashamaga chit tohiyasya paripantino. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So what Krishna is saying is that if we don't follow the rules and regulations of scripture, that we cannot regulate, we cannot overcome our lower natures. In other words, by our own effort, we cannot rise. We cannot come to a higher level. These scriptural injunctions are given to us so that we can come to a higher level. Unfortunately, nowadays, in religion, in Hindu religion, for want of a better term, or in many branches of Christian religion or whatever, people think that religion means you just feel something and you just love, and it's all very vague. But actually, dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma means to follow the rules of God given in scripture. There are rules and regulations which need to be followed. It's not enough to say, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Christian, or whatever. But one has to follow the rules which are given in the scripture. There are principles, what we should do, what we should not do. Everything that we do has a result. This Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. Just like our scientists have discovered that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So similarly, on the subtle level, in our activities, in our karma, everything that we do has a reaction. So we should do what is right. Just like people think, previously in India, India was famous for being a country mainly of vegetarians. But nowadays they're advertising you should be big and strong by eating lots of meat and eggs and fish and become healthy like this. Although in the Western countries, by which this propaganda came from there, but now they've understood that actually this is not good for them. So in the Western countries, so many people are becoming vegetarian, whereas people in India, they're thinking you have become very healthy by eating lots of meat and becoming like a tiger or something like this, like a dog that eats meat. But we should understand that there's a reaction. Not only is there a physical reaction, the physical reaction, it may be that by eating excess protein that one gets a bigger, stronger body. Maybe not. I was raised as a meat eater and look at this skinny little body that I've got. It's not necessarily true that by eating meat you become bigger and stronger. But apart from the long-term bad health results that you will get, such as high BP, cholesterol, higher risk of cancer, and so on, there are also subtle karmic reactions. So it's not, we're not just saying here dogmatically that, well, everyone should be a vegetarian, or everyone should stop boozing and stop smoking, but we are saying on the basis of scripture that there are certain activities that one should perform and certain activities that one should not perform, because one will get a result for everything that he does. So we should know how to act in such a way that is actually beneficial for us and actually beneficial for others, and that we can understand from what Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita and throughout the whole Vedic literatures. And if we don't follow these principles given in scripture, then we come under the control of attachment and aversion. Now here Krishna is speaking in a very philosophical manner. Bhagavad Gita is very philosophical. We're just trying to make it somewhat simplified here so everyone can understand. But this attachment and aversion, these are two activities or proclivities of the mind. Everything that we see, what is the mind? The mind is that which processes everything that our, all the knowledge that our senses give us. Through the senses, we see, touch, taste, smell, feel, hear. So the senses give information and the mind processes it. And the mind, everything we see or hear, or everything we think, do I like it or do I not like it? And we react accordingly. Now, we become attached to those things that we think are good for me or that will give me some enjoyment. And we become averse to something that we think is very bad for me. For instance, we might like to eat pizza, for instance. So we become attached to eating pizza. Or something else, there may be something with a very bad smell, rotten eggs. And if we think of rotten eggs, we think, oh, that we were averse to that. We don't want to eat that. So this is a very simple example. But actually everything at every moment we are processing in our mind. Is this good for me? Is this nice for me? And we decide to act accordingly. Everything. Even when we're walking on the street, we may be walking on the street and we see there's a hole in the road and we go around it. It's all on the basis of judgment. Every moment we're making a judgment decision. I have to go around it because if I walk over it, I'll fall in the hole. So, this attachment, we become attached to things which we think are conducive for us, but we don't actually know what is good for us. And we become averse to things which we think are bad for us. And at the simple level, yes, if there's a hole in the road, you walk around it. But we, without getting higher transcendental spiritual knowledge, we don't actually know what is good for us and what isn't. And that's a very good example I just gave. That we may become attached to meat eating, thinking that, well, I'll become very healthy and very powerful and very strong by eating lots of meat. But we don't understand that by doing so, we also have to take the karmic reaction of being involved in killing animals, which is a very gross activity which causes tremendous suffering to the animals, and therefore there is a karmic reaction and we have to suffer. The word mams in Hindi comes from the Sanskrit mamsaha, mamsa, me, he. In other words, me in this life I am eating he, but in the next life it'll be reversed. By the karmic laws, he will have the opportunity to eat me. So, it's not actually very good for us in the long run. What may seem to be good for us is not good for us. So, Lord Krishna here is recommending very strongly for our own good, that we should follow the rules and regulations of scripture because they help us to overcome this attachment to this material world and aversion to that which is not beneficial for our real self-interest. Our real problem is Nate Vidu Swarzagating Hi Vishnu. We do not know what is our real self-interest. Our real self-interest is to understand, surrender to love Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But without having this clear understanding, our mind is rolling and rolling and going this way and that way, and everything we see and everything we hear and everything we touch and taste and smell and feel and see, we're evaluating. I want it. Oh, I don't want it. I want it. I don't want it. So to make the mind very steady, we simply have to understand. Actually, I'm not part of this material world. Krishna has explained in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita that we don't really belong here. We're all eternal spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. Our nature is as He is. He is the Supreme Lord. We are His servants. He is Sat Chit Anandamai. He is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. We are also like that by nature. But due to envying Krishna, we have come to this material world and we judge everything in terms of our own sense enjoyment, miscalculated on the basis of the body. We should understand, I am part and parcel of Krishna. I should not be envious of Krishna. Being envious of Krishna is the cause of all my problems, all our problems. Krishna, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very, very kindly in this Bhagavad Gita, through Arjuna, giving the solution to all our problems, which is simply that we have to understand what Krishna wants us to do and follow it. Of course, life is very complex, and the simple formula is that we should love Krishna. How to apply that practically within all the different complexities of life, that will be explained in overview by Krishna and throughout the Vedic literatures. And of course, we require Guru to guide us how we can practically apply that in our lives. But the basic principle we should understand, the Bhagavad Gita, this is a guidebook to life. How to lead your life in the best possible manner so that your life will be successful in the best possible way. You can be happy now, happy forever, fulfilled in the best way. Krishna is giving the instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada has very kindly explained to us Bhagavad Gita as it is. And we are very fortunate to have the opportunity to follow that. So we request you to do so also. Please study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Make your life successful in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The ancient wisdom that you have just heard is contained in the publications of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust.